the next 30 minutes, welcome to Old Testament Prophets with your host, Father Mitch Pacwa. In a moment, Father Pacwa.
Shalom Aleichem. God's peace be with you all. Welcome back to our series on the prophets. My name is Father Mitchell Pacwa. I teach Old Testament at Loyola University of Chicago. And we've been taking a look at the origins of prophecy. Where does it come from? And we've looked at some prophetic types like Moses. We've seen a little bit about the Levites and the judges and how they speak God's will and God's word. But now, I'd like to take a look at somebody who is extremely important for prophecy, Samuel. Let's take a look, first of all, at some of the other biblical traditions about Samuel. For instance, we see in the book of Psalms, and if you have your Bibles, please open them up with us to Psalm 99. Where it says, "Let us extol Yahweh our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he." Now, his footstool refers to the Ark of the Covenant. You know, God sits on his throne in heaven. He's got a nice place to live. But he lets his feet rest on that Ark of the Covenant. Not only because he wants his feet to rest on a nice little cushion, but also because he wants his presence in Israel. And the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments was the sign of God's presence in Israel. But it says in verse 6, "Moses and Aaron, one of his priests, and Samuel, who prayed, all invoked Yahweh, and he answered them." So we see here that Samuel is placed right along with Moses and Aaron as the norms for people who prayed before the Ark of the Covenant. And also, if we take a look at the book of Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah, we see in chapter 15 that Yahweh said to the prophet Jeremiah, "Even if Moses and Samuel were standing in my presence, I could not warm up to this people, drive them out of my sight." So, in other words, Yahweh says, even if Moses and Samuel were here before me. Now, why Moses and Samuel? Well, I've already mentioned before how Moses is the norm of prophecy. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that Yahweh would one day send a prophet like Moses. But we also see here that not only is Moses mentioned in Psalm and also in Jeremiah 15, but also Samuel is mentioned. And it's because of these texts that we believe very much that Samuel was the second norm for prophecy. He was the person second to Moses in the history of Israel's prophecies, and even Jeremiah is told by Yahweh to look to Samuel and Moses as norms. So let's take a look at the story of Samuel. Where else would we find such a thing but in the book of Samuel? That's where we see the story of Samuel begin. So open up to where else but the beginning, chapter 1. Now there was a man of Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hills of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoram. Now, Elkanah is the father of Samuel. And Elkanah means God is zealous. So, and we've talked about this before with the Levites, how they were ones who were zealous for God, and the judges were zealous for God. Well, this man's name, Elkanah, means zealous for God, or God is zealous, or God is jealous. The word kana means the same thing. So he is jealous and zealous for God. That's his name and identity. And he had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Now, Peninnah means pearl, and Hannah means grace. And his wife Gracie, Hannah, has trouble because she can't have children. And worse, Peninnah, Pearl, the other wife, has 7 kids and mocks poor Hannah, poor Grace. So Grace is not, is just shamed because she has no children. And it really comes out badly when Grace, that is Hannah, goes over to the temple festivals every year as a good Jew. Elkanah, God is zealous or God is jealous, goes over to Shiloh. Now Shiloh is also in the center of the country, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the high priest, Eli, and other Levites were in that sanctuary, that shrine at Shiloh. And Elkanah and his 2 wives and the 7 sons of Peninnah all went there. And Elkanah would sacrifice an animal and have a big festival. But the wives would each get their own portion. And Hannah, that is Gracie, could not get but one portion. Now, Elkanah loved her the best and gave her the best portions, but she still had no children and she lamented. So it goes on to say that she went before the Ark of the Lord and she prayed and she was moving her lips, but no sound came out. And the high priest Eli was sitting there, and Eli is a great big fat old guy, as we'll see later on. He's a big fat priest, and you probably know the type. And he's sitting there and he says, Hey, there's no drunken women around here. Cut it out. And poor Hannah, Gracie, says, look, priest, I'm not drunk. I'm praying. I want a child. Well, Eli feels bad that he accused her of being drunk. So he says, well, may Yahweh grant what you ask. And so she goes off. And in Hebrew, it says, may Yahweh grant or Yahweh will grant. The same word means either one. So he's sort of covered. Well, sure enough, that year, she receives a child. The priest prayer was very helpful, and she conceives a child, and she calls him Shmuel, for God has listened. That's what the name Samuel means. God has listened. And she says that she called him God has listened because she had asked for God, and now God heard her prayer and gave her Samuel. Now, while the child is being weaned, that is, while he's still nursing at her breast, he stayed with her, and she didn't go to Shiloh those years. And in their culture, a child would stay nursing for 3 years. So she got to hang on to her little baby for 3 years. And then once he was weaned at around 3 years old, by the way, I would recommend that. That's a great way to raise a kid, to keep on nursing him. It gives him real closeness to the mother. But then, after he's done being weaned, she sends Samuel back to the shrine and to the priest Eli. And with the priest Eli, you know, she sacrifices a bull, who's 3 years old. That is, a bull who was born right when Samuel was born, at about 3 years old. And an ephah of flour and a skin of wine. And she offers them, and then she says to the priest, this is the child I prayed for, and Yahweh granted what I asked for. Now, I make him over to Yahweh for his whole life. He is made over to Yahweh. And she also calls him a Nazarite. That is, someone who will not drink wine and will not cut his hair. Believe me, I would have loved that when I was a kid. I hated haircuts. And she goes on and she prays, my heart exalts in Yahweh. My horn is exalted in my God. My mouth derides and makes fun of my enemies, for I rejoice in your saving power. So she rejoices that God has answered her prayer and given her young Samuel. And because he's an answer to prayer, you got to know he's special. Now, we're going to come back in just a minute and talk about why this young baby Samuel is so special. So stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking about the prophets, and right now we're dealing with Samuel, who is one of the greatest prophets of Israel, and he's looked to in the Bible as one of the greatest of the prophets. And we saw how Samuel was asked for by his mother, Hannah, Gracie, and he was given in response to prayer, and now she has taken this answer to her prayer and given him to the Lord. Now, isn't that amazing that she doesn't cling to him herself, but she takes this gift that God has given her and she returns the gift back to God? The one that she asked for, she returns to God so that, as it says here, he can be in the service of Yahweh. In chapter 2 of Samuel, verse 18, that Samuel was in the service of Yahweh, given by his mother. And every year, his mother would bring him new clothes and probably little extra toys and cakes and all the good stuff that mothers love to bring. But she leaves him in the service of Yahweh. Now, Samuel, the little boy, grows up at the temple. And that sounds very nice, to grow up by the church. But there's problems, because the priests are not so good. One priest, Eli, is the high priest. Now, he's very, very old. And he came to hear of everything that his sons were doing. Now, he had two sons who were also priests with him. And these two priests were not good. They were taking some of the meat that was being offered to Yahweh, which they were supposed to do. That was fine, to take the meat. They got a portion of the meat, because that's how the priests lived, by the offerings that the people gave. They took one part of the offering, gave parts to the people, Yahweh got part burned up, and then the priest took part. But they were supposed to boil it, and they got tired of boiled meat. I said, boiled meat, I'm sick and tired of it. I want a nice, juicy roast. And so they would take the meat out and go and roast it. And then also, they started fooling around with some of the women that came there. Now, there's a problem with this priesthood, and it doesn't mean that their priesthood is false, but it means that they are going to be punished by Yahweh. And a man of God, a prophet, comes up to them and says to Eli and to his house, Yahweh says this. This is in chapter 2, verse 27. Did I not reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt, slaves of the house of Pharaoh? I chose them out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar to burn incense, to carry the ephod, and to your father's house I granted all the burnt offerings. That is, to the house of Levi, I gave all these special favors. But you have been false. You should have punished your sons. They're so bad, you should have killed them yourself. And so, even though they've got all these favors, they're not going to be protected by the Lord. And so this man of God, this prophet, says to Eli and his sons that he's going to be punished. Now, afterwards, we see that another event takes place. And this is when Samuel is still a little boy. And it says in chapter 3 that Samuel was ministering to the Lord. Again, he's been given up to God, and he still ministers to the Lord. And he's doing it in the presence of Eli, the priest. And it says here in chapter 3, verse 1, it was rare for Yahweh to speak in those days. Visions were uncommon. So people had lost sight of God. The priesthood perhaps had made them go astray, because the priests, the leaders of the people, were no longer close to the Lord like Moses had been. They were no longer obedient. They were no longer doing what they should be doing, but were becoming selfish and self-centered. The priests perhaps were then also perverting the people. And we've seen this problem in the church many times. When ministers and priests go astray, the whole church suffers. And that's what was going on here. Yahweh didn't speak to people. And yet, Yahweh is willing to break through any hard-heartedness on the part of the people, and he's willing to speak and start all over again. And so, one day, while Eli was lying down in his room, Samuel was lying in the sanctuary of the Lord. Okay, so Samuel was in the holy place, and he's there close to God. And again, remember what I said about Moses. Why is Moses so important? Because God spoke to him face to face. Now, this little boy, Samuel, perhaps 10, 12 years old, is close to the Ark of the Covenant. He's close to the presence of God. And, you know, one of the things that I would also recommend for all of us, something I learned from Bishop Sheen, is that we each need to come close to the presence of God. I love praying before the Blessed Sacrament for that reason. Because it's like it's being in the presence of God. And young Samuel was close to the Ark of the Covenant, which was the Jewish sacrament of the presence of God. And while he's laying there in God's presence, Yahweh called, Shmuel, Shmuel. And he answered, that is Samuel, Samuel in Hebrew. And he answered, Hineni, that is, here I am. And he ran down to Eli and said, Eli, here I am, what do you want? And Eli said, go back to sleep, I didn't call you. So Samuel goes back to sleep. And again he hears Yahweh speak, Shmuel, Shmuel, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel got up and said to Eli, here I am. He named me. And Eli said, I didn't call you, my son. Go back and lie down. Third time. You know, you'll see, it says even that Samuel did not have experience of the word of God, Yahweh. He had no knowledge of Yahweh. That is, by knowledge, the word means experience. He had no experience of Yahweh. And so he got up and went to Eli a third time when Yahweh called him. And so at that point, Eli said, maybe something is up here. Eli may not have been the best high priest. He may not have punished his sons as he should have been, but he perhaps remembered the traditions of remembering how Yahweh used to speak to Israel. And so he says, look, my son, go and lie down. And if someone calls again, then I want you to say to him, speak, Yahweh, your servant is listening. So Samuel went in. And Yahweh then went, Yahweh came and stood by, calling as he had before, Shmuel, Shmuel. And Samuel answered, speak, Yahweh, your servant is listening. And then Yahweh spoke to Samuel, and he said to him, I'm about to do such a thing in Israel as will make the ears of all who hear of it tingle. That this is going to be such a thing that they're going to tingle with their ears. And on that day, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke about his house. That is, all the punishment I said to that man of God earlier in the chapter, in chapter 2, all those things against the house of Levi I'm going to bring about because he did not correct his sons. And Samuel goes back to Eli, and Eli says, you tell me everything you heard. And don't you omit a word or else may everything fall on you, Samuel. And so Samuel says, well, what the Lord told me, that your house is going to be punished. Your sons are going to die. And Eli goes back because he knows he deserves it. Now we're going to ask you to come back in just a minute because we want to see what happens to this Samuel and how his career as a prophet develops. Welcome back. We've been talking about Samuel, the young Samuel, and how this young Samuel had been called by name by Yahweh. Samuel slept in the presence of God. He was before the Lord's Ark of the Covenant, and Yahweh spoke to him by name. Well, how wonderful that is. And how each of us needs to be in the presence of God, whether we experience that presence in the Scripture, or if we can experience that presence in the before the Blessed Sacrament in church. To be with God and be open to God speaking to us by name, calling our first name just as he called Samuel. And the word that Samuel gives is that Eli and his house are going to be punished. And then the next thing that happens is exactly that. That we see the story of the Ark of the Covenant begin in chapter 4. The people of Israel were fighting against the Philistines. Now this was tough. Because the Philistines were people that came down from the islands around Greece. They came in ships, and they landed on the southwest coast of Israel, along the Mediterranean. And the thing about these people, the Philistines, is that they had weapons made of iron. When they had a sword, it was made out of iron. Whereas the Israelites had swords made out of bronze. Now, this was a problem. Because bronze swords against steel swords or iron swords will break. An iron sword will cut right through your little bronze sword and you're going to die. And the Philistines were doing this left and right. They'd get them on the right side, the left side, whatever they could. They would kill the Israelites. And it began to look like the Philistines were going to win and conquer the territory, the land. And furthermore, the Philistines would not teach the Israelites how to use iron. That's not too bad. They wouldn't teach the Israelites how to use iron because then the Israelites would be able to fight fair. and they don't want that to happen by any means. So, we see that the Philistines come and attack the Israelites, and the Israelites lose. And so then the Israelites say, wait a second, that, you know, this is at Ebenezer. Now, Ebenezer means the rock of help, because they believed that Yahweh was like a rock of help. And so the Israelites send over to Shiloh and say, bring out the Ark of the Covenant, because in the old days, the days of Moses and Aaron, that the Ark would come out and lead us in battle. It walked around Jericho and all that, so let the Ark of the Covenant lead us today. And so the Israelites, you know, saw the Ark coming, brought in by the priests, the sons of Eli, Phinehas and Hophni. And this Ark came in, and the Israelites shouted, and they were yelling and hollering about all this great stuff that's going to happen in the battle. The Philistines heard the shout and said, hey, Philistines, gods have come into their camp. So let's get stronger and let's fight against them even more. Well, what happens is that the Israelites lose the battle and they lose the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of God is taken, and the priests, Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, are killed. And the whole Israelite army runs away from the Philistines with their iron swords. The Philistines then come and they capture Shiloh. We know that from archaeology. When Eli hears that the Ark of the Covenant is captured and his two sons are killed in the battle, he hears it while he's standing up. And again, I said before, Eli is a pretty big priest. He's pretty fat. Too much cholesterol, too much meat. You have to lower all that stuff in his diet. Well, anyway, Eli has a heart attack on the spot because of all that cholesterol and the hypertension and everything else with having these bad sons. And he dies, falls backwards, cracks his skull open, and that's it for him. And then one of his sons, the wife of Phinehas, grabs his son and she runs away. And only one member of the family of Eli escapes, a little boy, a baby. And we'll talk about him later on in the series. But for now, Eli is dead. Phinehas and Hophni, the sons of Eli, are dead, just as Samuel had said by the word of the Lord. So we see Samuel's word is powerful. He speaks God's word to Eli, who's the political and religious leader of the people, and it happens as Samuel said. Eli and his sons die. But worse, the Ark of the Covenant is still captured by the Philistines. So they take the Ark of the Covenant back to their cities, and they move and over to their own town with this big prize. And one of the things that we see happen is that their gods in the temple in the Philistine country begins, you know, falls down on its face and breaks. A couple nights in a row this happens, that the idols of the Philistines fall down, and one time it even cracks. And then it says that in the Bible that the people got boils, all right? Now, I got to tell you the truth. What it says here in the English translations is boils because some rabbis put in the margin of the Bible boils. But what it said in the actual text in Hebrew is that the people of Philistia got hemorrhoids. They all got hemorrhoids because they had the Ark of the Covenant. And God became a big pain to them, and they had no suppositories to deal with it. And so they wanted to get rid of the Ark of the Covenant. So they made some golden hemorrhoids. Now it says again in your text, golden boils, but really in the Hebrew text it says golden hemorrhoids. I don't know where they got the model for that, but you know who had a pose for that, I don't know. But they had golden hemorrhoids, they put that in this new cart with the Ark of the Covenant, and they send it with two cows back to Israel. And it goes to a place called Kiriath Yearim. That means the villages of the forest. Now, after the Ark of the Covenant has returned to the land of Israel, Samuel becomes more and more the leader of the people. A good 20 years after all this took place, after the Ark is captured. So Samuel would be in his 30s or 40s. Samuel is called in chapter 7 of the prophet and judge. And it said in chapter 7, verse 3, then Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to Yahweh. So look, Israel, Yahweh has brought back the Ark of the Covenant to you. And if you want Yahweh's help, that you have to come back to Yahweh. He says, if you are returning to Yahweh, then with all your heart, put aside the foreign gods you now have, the Astartes, and set your heart on Yahweh and serve Him alone. And He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel is a prophet because he says, set your heart on Yahweh. Serve Him alone. Don't serve any other gods. Serve nothing else except Yahweh, and He will help you. And sure enough, in the next battle against the Philistines, God sends a storm and destroys them and sends them away. And so, His word comes out to be true again. Now let's you and me make sure that we, like Samuel, serve Yahweh with our whole hearts, minds, and souls, and love Him with everything we are. God bless you. Thank you.